You're listening to Comedy Central.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
April 10, 2018. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Tonight, the star of Law & Order, SVU, and the producer of the new HBO documentary, I Am Evidence, Mariska Hargitay is here, everybody! But first, Michael Cohen, President Trump's personal lawyer and VIP customer at Joseph A. Bank. Yesterday, thanks to the FBI, he had a really, really bad day.
Let's start with those dramatic raids on the office and home of President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen.
A referral from special counsel Robert Mueller led to these search warrants targeting Michael Cohen, and investigators found emails, financial documents, and some client communications possibly involving President Trump. We're told that Cohen is under investigation for possible bank fraud, campaign finance violations, and other potential crimes connected to the 2016 election.
Man, I'm sorry, but this is just ridiculous. Even Trump's lawyer is being investigated? Like, how corrupt is your circle if your lawyer uses his one phone call to call you? It seems like everyone in Trump's world is corrupt. Like, I bet even when he goes to confession, he's like, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." And his priest is like, "Yo, you should hear the shit I've been getting into. Just to wait until I tell you." I'm just kidding. Trump doesn't know about church. Now, anytime the FBI raids a lawyer's office, it's a really, really big deal. But it's an even bigger deal when that lawyer is Michael Cohen. Because to President Trump, he's more than just a lawyer.
My job is I protect Mr. Trump. That's what it is. If there's an issue that relates to Mr. Trump that is of concern to him, it's of course concern to me. And I will use my legal skills within which to protect Mr. Trump to the best of my ability.
At the Trump Organization, he's done a bit of everything. Running a mixed martial arts company, securing real estate branding deals, and even taking care of transportation.
You know, the famous Trump plane, there was an engine issue that he actually took care of and got a really good deal on.
Yeah. Just what you want in an airplane, a discount engine. You're gonna be crashing like, we're gonna die, but at a greatly reduced rate! So much savings! But yeah, basically, Michael Cohen is Trump's go-to guy for everything. So if Trump has ever done anything shady, which I know sounds ridiculous, but stick with me here. This FBI raid has a good chance of finding it. Which is why yesterday, President Baby got a little cranky.
So I just heard that they broke into the office of one of my personal attorneys, good man. And it's a disgraceful situation. It's a total witch hunt. It's an attack on our country in a true sense. It's an attack on what we all stand for.
That's right. It's an attack on what we all stand for. You know, the American ideals of life, liberty, and the pursuit of having a lawyer pay off your side chick. Now, in Trump world, what's happening here is a giant conspiracy, right? It's Robert Mueller trying to take Trump down for political reasons. The only issue with that argument is that the conspiracy would have to involve every single person in law enforcement.
Explain how many hoops they had to go through to get this raid of Michael Cohen's offices.
Robert Mueller did not make this decision. It seems he came upon some sort of potential criminal activity. He then hands it off effectively to Rod Rosenstein, who's the deputy attorney general, says, look, we found this. You decide what to do with it. Rod Rosenstein then makes a referral, meaning basically says to the Southern District of New York, look, here's what we got. You decide what to do with this. Then the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York makes a decision to then seek out a search warrant. A judge then signs off on it. The standard for a judge to sign off on this is high.
Okay, that doesn't sound like a witch hunt to me. Because witch hunts were really simple, right? Back then it was just like, she shrank my penis, burn her at the stake! That's pretty much all you needed. Like, it's like what we're hearing here is just way too much legal procedure to be considered a witch hunt. Like, if people in Salem had this kind of due process, they would have never burned anyone. Like, no one would have died. They'd be like, she shrank my penis! Let's burn her at the stake! All right, but first you must fill out this official complaint. Okay, and then we'll burn her! No, no, wait, wait, then we have to see what the witnesses in this case say, and we have to see how big your penis originally used to be. What was that? Yeah, we need to know how big your penis actually was. Well, you know what? Forget it, man. I just, I actually made up the witch thing because Hester wouldn't let me smash. I'm gonna tell the truth. Well, look, man, you can tell that this raid has got Trump rattled because this morning the president tweeted this.
The president went to bed fuming and he woke up ranting. This morning the president wrote this, attorney-client privilege is dead.
I'm sorry, just the way they said it, he went to bed ranting and woke up fuming. It's just like, he was like, like, poor Trump. I imagine him in bed this morning, just tears streaming down his face, like, no, my attorney-client privilege is dead. At least I've still got you, white privilege. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever leave me. Now look, the fact is, attorney-client privilege doesn't apply when prosecutors have probable cause to believe that you and your lawyer were committing a crime together. It doesn't work. So I think it's pretty clear that Trump is probably just shouting out legal terms that he's heard on Law and Order. All right, tomorrow he'll be like, objection, double jeopardy, Your Honor, habeas corpus.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
This is it. your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an award-winning actor, an advocate for sexual assault survivors, and the producer of the new HBO documentary, I Am Evidence. Mariska Hargitay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am very happy to be here.
This is so much fun having you because, I mean, like, Law & Order, I've watched my whole life, and I watched your show in South Africa. It's big.
Mm.
And I always wondered, like, when you've played a character like Olivia Benson for as long as you have, do you sometimes feel like you, like, know the law? Like, do you ever feel like you are in law enforcement sometimes?
No. Absolutely, I feel like I do. And I'm also somebody that jumps in and gets confused about what my real job is. There have been times in my life where I've seen something on the street and I jump in like, hey, put that down, get in here, come here. And I've done it so many times, I'm like, Mariska, you need to calm down.
Yeah, but
seriously.
I feel like you play your character so convincingly that if you did that to me in real life, I'd be like, yeah, it's Law and Order. Ah! I'd be like, it's Law and Order.
No, it's been fun. You know, this when you do something
right.
For 19 years, I started the show when I was 4. And when you... No, but when you do something, why is he laughing? That feels weird. I'm going to be 23. Anyway, when you do something for this long, you know, your body sort of reacts to
right,
it.
Right,
so
right.
So when there's crisis, I go into crisis mode.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I go into lieutenant mode.
Go into lieutenant mode.
I'm not in that mode right now.
The show is an interesting one because, you know, Law & Order has so many different spin-offs, but Special Victims Unit is one that connected with so many people in a visceral way.
Mm.
Because we were used to glamorous crimes. You know, it was always all the murder, it was the this, it was the swindling, it was the... But Special Victims Unit tackled something that, like, a lot of people have experienced, unfortunately. You know, the Me Too movement has exposed how pervasive sexual assault and harassment have been, and that's what your show has been covering for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You went through an interesting experience where people who were victims and survivors of sexual assault or harassment reached out to your character. Like, they wrote you fan mail and asked you for help. Like, they actually went, I need your help. Did people not know that your character wasn't real, or was it something else?
You know, I think that for so long, survivors have been living in a culture of shame and isolation. When I started the show, I'd come off ER. And
right.
So when you're, you know, getting normal fan mail, you get, hi, I love your show, can I get an autographed photo? And all of a sudden, when I started SVU, after the show had been airing for a while, I started getting a very different kind of fan letter with victims actually disclosing their stories of abuse, and many for the first time. And in those letters, there always was the same theme, again, of shame, stigma, and isolation.
Right.
Isolation. And them saying, I've never told anyone before, and not feeling safe to tell anyone, or feeling scared that they wouldn't be believed or it wouldn't be received right. So
right.
I think that they went to this fictionalized character that maybe was the first person that showed empathy and compassion, and they knew that Olivia was always for the victim first and felt safe there, and hopefully now that is indeed changing.
Right, and that's a powerful connection for people to have with a character and with a show. And It's something that I think many people would find overwhelming. I don't know if I'd be able to handle that. I don't know how I would handle it. But you took it and turned it into something really positive. You started your foundation, Joyful Heart. What is Joyful Heart all about?
Thank you. Well, when I started getting these letters, as you can imagine, I was shocked and wanted to respond and was so... it was very painful receiving these letters, and I didn't know how to respond, so I tried to educate myself, and I was so enraged when I learned about the statistics of sexual assault, that one in three women and one in six men will be abused in their lifetime. I mean, these were crazy statistics, and I thought, if those were the statistics, one in four women will be assaulted by her 18th birthday. How is it that everybody wasn't talking about this? This was an epidemic. So that's when I started educating myself, and when I did my research for the role of playing Olivia, besides hanging out in police, you know, precincts and with cops and doing ride-alongs, I also went through a 40-hour training to become a rape crisis advocate, which taught me how to deal with survivors, because I knew I wanted to play this character in a different way, with all of myself and all of my humanity and empathy and femininity, and not in, you know, a female in a man's world, and not in a sort of male way, playing this hard-ass, you know, badass detective who, as we all have different sides of us, also has compassion, empathy, and humanity, as I said. So that's when I sort of put a structure to my anger and started the Joyful Heart Foundation to help victims reclaim, you know, their lives, reclaim possibility and joy. And then in 2009, I learned about the rape kit backlog.
Right.
In 2009, I learned about, there was a study done by Human Rights Watch that exposed this unbelievable travesty in our nation, that when a woman was brave enough and courageous enough to come forward after being assaulted and would go through a 4 to 6 hour, often completely invasive and often re-traumatizing examination. Mm-hmm. And they would do, you know, a sexual assault evidence, you know, collection kit and poke them and prod them. And, you know, it's a humiliating, painful process. And then we found out that these kits were sitting on shelves in police storage facilities. And you would assume that in America, in this country, obviously, if the evidence collection kit was taken, it would be processed.
Right.
And we found that wasn't the case. And I found out the first case was, the first time I found out about it was the study done in California, in Los Angeles, that there were 12,000, I think, 669 kits. So the following year, I went to testify before Congress, and that's when I met this amazing badass of a woman named Kim Worthy, who was the Wayne County prosecutor,
right,
who was also testifying. And when we met, we were done. it was a little bit of a match made in heaven.
And you've been on a journey ever since, and this documentary, I think, is in many ways a culmination of that journey, because this story is illuminating in so many different ways. We learn about these rape kits that are taken. We learn about the experiences of these women who have survived these horrific incidents. And then we learn that there are just backlogs. There are kits that are sitting on shelves, and rapists are walking free in the streets. Some people may say, okay, that's bad, but there's a story in particular where one woman... rape was tied to another woman's rape 13 years later. Is this a story that you come across often?
Well, you know, the rape kit backlog, which, of course, after we found that there were, you know, this was the same story in every city.
Right.
Right? And there are estimated hundreds of thousands of rape kits sitting in police storage facility, and there are so many reasons to test these kits, but not testing them clearly sends a message to survivors saying you don't matter, and your kit doesn't matter, and your case doesn't matter. And it certainly tells perpetrators, well, doesn't matter, continue.
Right.
What we learned is that by putting the DNA in the CODIS, which is the national database, we kept finding hits and that there were so many serial rapists. Kim found in Detroit, I think out of 11,000 kits, there were 879 serial rapists. So in the movie, which was very, you know, difficult to put together, this was my first documentary, and we interviewed 14 women, all with the most, who were so extraordinarily brave, but with these compelling stories. And I'll tell you, I could have made a documentary on each one of these women with their stories. But, you know, a documentary, how do you tell the story? How do you weave it together? And then we found that one of the rapists was indeed a truck driver who hadn't been apprehended.
Right.
And one of the women was waiting 14 years, for the precinct to call her back. They never did. And in the meantime, he was busy assaulting other women.
It's a story that is enraging.
It's enraging.
It's frustrating. And at the same time, uplifting because of what we see in the documentary. Mm. We see the work that your organization is doing. We see the work that these women are doing fighting this process. What can be done, though? Some people go, it's a backlog. The police department cannot do anything. But New York City has done something. What can be
done?
And
I wanted to make this movie because it's so hard-hitting. And again, when I found out about it in 2009... you know, my head almost exploded. I just remember going, this cannot be.
Right.
It can't be. This is America. It can't be. And I remember doing a satellite media tour the following year, and none of the journalists, nobody knew. They'd go, wait, what? They would stop me and say, you're telling me that the woman goes through this examination and they're not testing the kits? And so this is an incredibly, you know, how do you measure sexual assault in this country? How do you measure how women are being treated? And that's what I thought. This is a perfect sort of microcosm of how we treat women, how we treat survivors. And it sort of holds a mirror up to the country and says, this is what we're doing, so let's change it. The good news is it's fixable. The good news is that Joyful Heart, my foundation that I founded in 2004, has made the rape kit backlog our number one advocacy priority. And so we have made these six pillars of legislation that we're trying to push through, and we are changing legislation in every state. New York doesn't have a backlog, thank God, and certain states by states and cities by cities are cleaning up their backlog.
Right.
So you can go to endthebacklog.org and find out what you can do. Write to your legislators, write to your congressmen, and we can change it. We just have to be persistent and never give up.
I think that sounds amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I Am Evidence debuts Monday, April 16th at 8 p.m. on HBO. And for more information about how you can help, visit endthebacklog.org. Mariska Hargitay, everybody. Thank you so much.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.